persecution of the Jews and the history of grave anti-Semitism ending up in the Holocaust is a European crime.
In addition to the occupation, they are building settlements on land which they do not own, although they claim it.
Are Israeli practices against the Palestinian people in breach of the prohibition of apartheid under international law?
The United States had cast its veto on 43 occasions since 1972.
The recognition of Palestine by more than 138 states in the General Assembly of the United Nations.
In 1948, the Zionist Agency and Haganah had drawn up a plan to drive out the Arabs by using terror to spread fear and encourage civilians to leave their homes without any resistance. The Deir Yassin massacre, which left over 100 people dead, spread panic across Palestinian villages, as the Zionists had intended, and encouraged civilians to flee their homes. Ben-Gurion declared that old Palestinians would die and the young would forget their homeland. Gurion personally directed the obliteration of the Arab past, with Judaized names of streets, villages and towns, and building settlements on 350 destroyed Palestinian villages. But the Palestinian people have not forgotten their Palestine and dream of returning to their homes and land one day. The question that many Palestinians ask themselves today is, has the world forgotten about Palestine and its people? Events such as the Russell Tribunal on Palestine show that the world has not forgotten Palestine or the Palestinians. The first session on Palestine took place in 2010 and was established to examine the role and complicity of third parties such as governments, institutions and corporations in violation of international law committed by Israel against the Palestinian people. Since its creation in 1966, the Russell Tribunal has sought justice when powerful countries turned a blind eye. It demanded investigations when governments tried to hide. And now, the tribunal has reached its final session on Palestine.
We are back at Brussels as the jury looks back at the tribunal's work during the last 5 years. The jury is summarizing the findings of the previous sessions, from which it will draw general conclusions.
The tribunal's rulings are non-binding and have little more than sentimental value. I spoke to some of the participants at the tribunal and asked why they were taking part and what they felt was the purpose of these sessions.
Monitors the situation in the Middle East. We monitor violations of human rights law and international humanitarian law. We try to mobilize public opinion to make people more aware of the violations of international law by Israel, and we try to give the general public an opportunity to express their feelings and views on the subject of Palestine.
يعني انا اقول ان هذه المبادرات مبادرات مهمه لتعريه الموقف الاسرائيلي للتركيز على الانتهاكات اليوميه في لحقوق الانسان الفلسطيني للتركيز على قضيه الاسرى والمعتقلين الفلسطينيين اللي عددهم 4800 معتقل فلسطيني وكذلك النواب هناك 12 نائب في سجون الاحتلال ووجودي في هذا المكان هو دليل على وقوف الشعوب إلى جانب حرية الشعب الفلسطيني وإلى جانب حرية مروان البرغوثي اللي بيمثل.
I think we all agreed that the situation in Palestine is very serious, that Israel is guilty of serious violations of international law, but the problem is that the United States and the European states are largely unconcerned about the situation in Palestine. And so the purpose of the Russell Tribunal is really to create public awareness of the situation and to try to influence public opinion. And we also call upon the United Nations and states to comply with international law.
We are trying to address a message to the public opinions in Europe, in the United States, in Arab countries as well, and ask them to push to push on their governments where they are, to ask their governments to comply with the international law, and to push Israel to comply with the international law, and to sustain Palestinians to fulfill their rights, in particular the rights of self-determination, which is a right which is in the Charter of the United Nations.
This tribunal concerns the most critical, unresolved situation of injustice on our planet. Sometimes it seems impossible of resolution, and yet I am very optimistic. Think of what has been achieved, the changes achieved in my lifetime, and indeed I think the lifetime of many in this room, too many perhaps. You know, we have to mobilize the young, as Stefan did with his books, also published in his 90s. We have seen the ending of apartheid. We have seen the ending of colonial rule in Africa. We have seen the fall of fascism in Latin America and indeed in many parts of Europe. We have seen the Berlin Wall pulled down. And these momentous changes happened because of the struggle and sacrifice of the peoples directly involved, aided by the solidarity of ordinary people and their organizations around the world. I am here because I am confident that the oppression of the Palestinian people will likewise be ended.
The tribunal has sought to galvanize international and public opinion in the hope that the international community would put pressure on Israel to cease its criminal activities and respect Palestinian sovereignty. Leila Shahid, the first Palestinian woman ambassador and the official representative of the Palestine Liberation Organization in Europe, shares her thoughts with me on the tribunal.
Of course, a tribunal of citizens. It's not an official one. But, you know, we are in the world of civil society. We have seen a revolution in Tunisia, in Egypt, in Bahrain, in Libya, in Yemen. The world is waking up. We have seen all the people who followed Stefan Essel and who made indignatos, you know, indignation in Wall Street, in Spain, in Portugal, in Greece, saying that the citizens also must have their own contribution to the implementation of civil rights, of human rights, and of international humanitarian law. So I think it has an impact because now with the new media, television, internet, the whole world knows the truth. You know, 50 years ago, when they kicked out all the Palestinians, nobody knew what happened. Now people know the truth. And I think that's very important that citizens in the world will also put pressure on their governments, on their elected member of parliament, to make Israel comply with its obligations in relation to the violation of the Palestinian people.
With the Arab Spring in full session, the Arab people are busy toppling their dictators and trying to bring democracy to their countries. Thus, for now, the plight of the Palestinian people is far from the forefront of their minds.
At the time of Barcelona session, we didn't have the Arab Spring. So the 100% of the Arabic countries were ruled by dictators, in fact. People have not been chosen by their people, you know, the leaders were self-designated leaders. And I think that they wanted to keep on their thrones, and to keep on their thrones, they have to obey to the people, the states, the countries, Europe, in the United States, etc. The leaders of the European Union and in the United States ensure them to be seated, to remain seated on their thrones. And they were afraid of their own people. So they didn't have, an autonomy in the decision.
The problem is, of course, there is now a great problem between some of the Arab countries, particularly the Gulf countries, and Iran. Because you know that Iran is, and it's legitimate, is a power in this part of the world, like Turkey is, like Egypt is, it's normal. But the Gulf countries consider that the threat that they are facing first and foremost is from Iran. You know that there are problems between a number of Gulf countries, not only on the Persian or Arab Gulf, but also on the fact that in most of these countries there are important Shiite communities living in Bahrain, in Saudi Arabia, in Kuwait. So they have sort of put Palestine also as a second priority, not as a first priority. Then you have, of course, the Arab revolutions. You have in Egypt, in Tunisia, in Libya, a change, a very important change of government. So also they are thinking of their own internal situation, which is legitimate, so that they are not always available to support or to be very effective in their support of Palestine. They do, of course, at the UN, and this is how we were able to get 138 countries voting in favor, because also of Arab support. But I would say this period for the Arab world is a difficult one. This is why we cannot limit the solidarity to only the Arab countries. We must make it available for all the free people in the world. You saw in this jury, there are South Africans, you have British, you have American Indians, you have Argentinians, you have French, you have Dutch, you have people from all, you have Irish, you have people who are members of a jury who represent the world community of justice and law. And I think this is why they represent also a very important consciousness of the world. You know, in struggles in the world, unfortunately, very often, the governments, the regimes, make compromises because they have interest in oil, they have interest in making alliances with Israel. But when you talk to people who are people of thought, intellectual judges, jurists, then they are the conscious of the world. And I think that Stéphane Hessel, who was the honorary president of this tribunal, was the best example. But this also is an engine to make third parties in the world, citizens, parliaments, trade unions, churches, also enter the battle to force Israel to respect the Palestinian rights and to put an end to occupation and to accept the fact that the Palestinians have the right to a sovereign, independent state.
The Russell Tribunal has been more than just a simple gathering of citizens who are concerned for the Palestinian people. Far from just being an academic exercise, the tribunal has shed light on the suffering of the Palestinian people caused by the unjust criminal acts committed by Israel. But the plight of the Palestinian people remains the same, a daily struggle for survival under the rule of Israeli occupation. So how much has the tribunal actually achieved? I asked one of the main organizers of the tribunal, Frank Barrett, who has been fighting for justice for Palestine for the past decade, if the tribunal had achieved any of its goals.
I mean, we haven't achieved our goals because our goals are, you know, justice for Palestine, freedom for Palestine, and it's not, you know, it's not happened yet. But this is a long-term goal, obviously, and what we hope the tribunal will have permitted is to create an ever bigger momentum for those goals to be realized. So when we started in Barcelona talking about EU complicity, and when we moved to London about talking about corporations, and then the UN and the US, it was all about, again, empowering us, the people of Europe, North America, people that actually don't have maybe direct links to Israel, Palestine, but to empower us and to make us understand that actually we are all linked and to what's happening on the ground, regardless of our nationality or religious beliefs, and that the situation in Palestine touches us all. We can call it, if you want, the reproduction of the occupation is happening also in various countries around the world. And most importantly, we are not passive actors. We are very active actors because our governments are complicit, because the corporations we buy mobile phones from, shoes from, are also complicit. So it's down to us to stand up to those institutions, to our states and governments, and tell them that, you know, they're not talking in our name.
The tribunal may not have had the power to liberate Palestine and free the Palestinians from a life under occupation, but they have succeeded in putting pressure on international companies complicit in the atrocities committed by the Israeli state. And in so doing, the International Campaign Body for Freedom for Palestine has become larger and more powerful.
The London session, who was focusing on companies who are involved in the occupation, produced clear conclusions condemning these companies, amongst other Dexia, based on a legal analysis of human rights violations, etc., international law, which for us was very important. Secondly, it helped us to make Dexia stop the funding of these settlements. We didn't find any new loans anymore, and so this London session was very useful for that. And just, I want to add one thing. The building where we are now for the closing session of the Russell Tribunal on Palestine used to be a building of the Dexia Bank. And we were campaigning in the same room as we did now during the General Assembly. So it makes me very happy that this time in the same building, it's not campaigning against this bank, but it's also a moment of a conclusion of a successful tribunal, which helped the solidarity movement on Palestine to make bigger networks and to make bigger pressure on companies, amongst others.
The London session of the tribunal was especially relevant to this theme of international solidarity. It was about the complicity of private corporations in Israel's violations of international law. We were hearing evidence about companies, some of them are familiar names, operating in our own countries and connected to Israel through a web of affiliates and subsidiaries. Private corporations are deeply involved in the three main areas in which international law has been violated: the building of the settlements in Jerusalem and the West Bank, the construction of the separation wall on the West Bank on Palestinian territory, and the incursion of Israeli forces into Gaza in the Operation Cast Lead, inflicting horrendous damage in December 2008 into January 2009. By way of example, and these are just examples, the British Danish giant G4S, through its Israeli subsidiary G4S Israel, is responsible for the security operations in the military checkpoints at the wall, in the settlements, and in the prisons. The very symbols of oppression are being organized by this British Danish company. The United States company Caterpillar has supplied the Israeli army with the bulldozers which have demolished Palestinian houses and cleared land for the construction of the wall. The French transport company Veolia built and operated the light rail project in occupied Jerusalem. Significantly, the tribunal wrote to all these companies, and Veolia replied, informing us that it had decided to divest its interest in that project.
The tribunal was about empowering us and make us realize that what's happening in Palestine and Israel is not a faraway conflict, but we are all active actors and we should stand up against, you know, any injustice in the world, in particular in Palestine.
We're entering a new phase at the end of the hearings, the formal hearings. A new phase, and I'm going to, in a sense, declare it as a legal intifada. A legal intifada in which all of you and all of us, whether we're in a formalized body or not, utilize the tools, utilize the international frameworks that are there to bring about change and make a difference, which we know we can do. I'll illustrate how this is in that very short time frame you see up there, really, 2010 to now, barely three years. What has happened in one or two ways? And the intifada that I'm talking about is therefore that Israel is going to be faced with challenges, legal challenges, on all fronts, at all times, from all sides. And those who are in prison in Palestine should know that we're out there to support them to support the rule of law.
The U.S. and the U.N. Continue to support Israel as it commits the most awful crimes against humanity. And of course, the Russell Tribunal, in its strategies for the future, focuses a great deal on the need to utilize the UN, particularly given the fact that despite the presence of Israel and the U.S., the General Assembly recently accorded Palestine non-member observer state status, which means that Palestine is now in a position, and we support the Palestinians who are calling for this, to join the International Criminal Court, and it can demand standing to bring charges against Israel.
Frank Barrett further explains what conclusion the jury had reached.
As the jury just said, the tribunal in itself, in terms of having sessions every year, is over. We feel we have addressed, you know, the topics we wanted to address. The complicities of various third parties have been thoroughly addressed. We've established that legally we could call Israel an apartheid state. So for us, this is now a time for, we've got the basis, we've got the law on our side, how to implement it, how to make sure people around the world make the findings of the tribunal their findings, then, you know, talk to their governments about it, talk to their families about it, talk to their bosses about it. And so, yeah, the next few months, there's going to be a lot of work in terms of follow-up, going to various countries, going to various solidarity groups, having meetings with them, a brainstorm with them, to try to see how we, as an internationalist movement, if you know what I mean, can make sure justice in Palestine is happened.
We had witnesses, we had the legal context provided, explaining the Palestinian right to self-determination, nature of this denial by Israel, its relation to apartheid and persecution, the prohibition of apartheid in international law, the law and practice of apartheid in South Africa, as well as an overview of Israeli law and policy with respect to the prohibition of apartheid. These experts defined apartheid relating to the status of racial groups under international law, Palestinian identity and the notion of racial domination, the notion of apartheid as an institutional regime of systematic domination, such as Israel's treatment of the Palestinian.
Of course, we who live in the United States have a very special responsibility to bring pressure on the U.S. government, including President Obama, incorporation of the progressive desires of the planet. And of course, it was important that we were able to elect him president and re-elect him, but now is the time to pressure him to cease his support of Israel and the awful crimes against humanity that it continues to commit.
United States must accept responsibility for the continued expansion of settlements and for allowing Israel to build a colonial empire and to practice apartheid in the occupied Palestinian territory.
This was the one thing Israel did not want. This is the one thing that's now in place. And if you, the Palestinian Authority, do not use the opportunity to go to the court and essentially put Israel on trial for all those things that are mapped out in our various documents, then it is a betrayal. And so therefore we say in no uncertain terms, here we go, Intifada, legal. Thank you.
There you have it. This is the end of the tribunal, but certainly not the end of the struggle, the fight, the campaigning, or the solidarity.
In its closing session, the tribunal encouraged people to visit Palestine to witness the daily lives of the Palestinians and agreed a future plan forward, a future that includes an independent, sovereign Palestinian state, free from the shackles of Israeli occupation and with the Palestinian refugees back in the homes they fled 65 years ago.
But again, on behalf of the Russell Tribunal, the day on which I will proclaim, if no one else, or if others are a little bit reluctant to overemphasize it, this was an overwhelming vote of 138 out of 193, and the nations who voted against, of course, the US and some of its territories, principally.